就是个在个生产的企业，商业在研究企业，各位们，
我厉害了。
Thanks to this abilities, all thanks to this abilities, all glories to this abilities, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. How nice to be here with all your nice devotees.And I hope everything is nice. Hope you're all doing well. Would there be any possibility of reading from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? Or would that be a bit of a push? Part 2, the one with chapter 20, 11th canto, chapter 20.So yes, Hare Krishna. Apki Tabiat KC Hay. Samastan. You know, I learnt, we were just in Tamil Nadu a few weeks ago, and I learnt a little Tamil.Any Tamils here? We have no Tamils. Okay. So for all you Tamils, first of all, Vanikam. But then, Saukhyama. Saukhyama. What's the answer though? Saukhya. A little culture. Saukhya. And the answer is Saukhya. Hare Krishna. There you go. You just spent a little time. So devotees, we were requested.To say a few words along the lines of how you can be, how a person can be, or you can be, we can be, delivered from material existence through devotional service. This is what we were asked to say something about.So we've requested an 11th canto that will come, I imagine, fairly soon. And secondly, or alternatively, but we could combine them, is the importance of training and education in Krishna consciousness. And that sort of, you could say, that could be it.How to advance, or how to become free from material existence through devotional service, and the importance of education and training in devotional service. That's it. That's the end of the class. Training and education, how to become free from material existence through Krishna consciousness, through training and education. What? How do you call it?Anyway, I was once in a, well actually we were on an 11-week Mandal Parikrama many years ago, I mean, 20 years ago, or it might have been more even. And Jaya Dwaita Maharaj was asked to give class one morning.I say, young man. Hare Krishna. Or me. Thank you. You're a good boy. Did you make this? Chad Wakefarage was asked to give class, and well, he was asked to give class actually about the chanting of the holy names. So he quoted a verse of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura. What is it now? Namavina ki kichu nahi ko ava chodha bhuvana maje. This is now a little bit of a lesson. Namavina, without the holy names, Namavina kichu nahi ko ava. Basically, except for the holy names, there is just nothing. Nothing. Chodha Bhuvana Bhaje. Chodha 14. That's right. There's nothing else in the 14 worlds. Namavina Kichu Nahiko Ava. There's nothing. Chodha Bhuvana Bhaje. And he said, that's the end of the planet. That's it. It's just the holy names. Anyway, you see, our minds are prone to be a little more complicated. So just to accept that, just chant Hare Krishna in the class. Every class. Every time. Just chant Hare Krishna. For our minds, it may be difficult to really digest that. So therefore, we have all the books with so much information and all sorts of interesting things. Because you know, well, if you study Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that different devotees and different forms of the Lord, even they are meeting different people and preaching to them. And in many cases, so many cases, particularly Narada Muni, but others also, in many cases, Sri Jagannath Prabhu is naturally in many cases, Narada Muni and other great personalities, because then usually they're doing some problem solving. Someone's got a problem. Maharaj Pachinabharavishat, he's got a problem. Various others. Dhruva Maharaj had a problem. So many people. Prahlad Maharaj has some problems. Parental problems. Maybe some of you had problems with your parents too. Not like he had problems then. But a lot of the time, they respond to these problems by, in one way or another, saying, chant the holy names. Or if not, perhaps specifically chant the holy names, but at least hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna. So it's all Krishna conscious self-vibration. And of course, we know that in Kali Yuga, the process is to chant the holy names. And even though you may do other things, like we do deity worship, and if you've got second initiation, then you do a little silent meditation. When there's initiation, when there's a wedding, and maybe one or two other types of occasions sometimes, but at least for them, those two, initiation and weddings, There's a final sacrifice. Yes. So we do these things which in the other yugas were the prescribed activities. That were, they were the things you were meant to do or advised to do in the other yugas. Actually, it's in the 12th canto, there's a verse. Trite yad jayato Vishnu, trite yad jayato makai, dwaparaya paracharya vam, kalo tad harikirtanat. So in the Krita Yuga, Satya Yuga, Satya means, you know, everything is very good, very truthful, very honest, and very sort of, very much in goodness. It can also be called Krita Yuga. Krita means meritorious. So, Dhyayata Vishnu, the process was to meditate on Vishnu. Then Tretya Yaja, Yajato Makai, process is five sacrifice. Then in the Dwapara Yuga, Dwapara Paracharya Vama. Paracharya Vama indicates deity worship. And then Kamo in the Kali Yuga, Tad, the same that same thing which you could achieve in the other yugas by those other activities is mentioned, Kalon Tad, Harikirtanat. You achieve it through Harikirtanat, chanting the holy names of Krishna, or particularly chanting the holy names. However, the point is made that the other processes in the other yugas, they were recommended or stipulated not necessarily because at those times they were the most effective for God realization, but rather because in terms of the natures of the people, those were the types of activities they were more inclined towards. And just in terms of sort of psychology and all that sort of thing, people's natures, they just were more inclined towards to doing those things, and therefore they were recommended. But actually, Krishna conscious sound vibration, and particularly the chanting of the holy names, was always the most effective. In Kali Yuga, it's the only thing. In Kali Yuga, you can do as much deity worship as you like without chanting the holy names, and you won't be successful. You can do fire yajnas until you're black in the face. In fact, that's what they were doing when Sutta Goswami arrived in Dharmasharanya, and Shodaka Rishi was there with the sages. They were doing a fire yajna for 1,000 years to slow down the onslaught of Kali Yuga, not to stop it, because we can't really stop it, but to slow it down. And then so they've already been doing that for a while, and Sutta Goswami came. And Shodaka Rishi, on behalf of the sages, he asked Sutta Goswami, he said, you know, you've got to help us. We're trying to do this for the benefit of the people. So the Kali Yuga doesn't just smash everyone down and just out. So, but it doesn't seem to be working. It doesn't seem to be working. So help us. And then
Shankar Rishi sort of corrected himself and said, actually, it's not that there's no result. It's not that there's no result. There is a result, but it's not a very good result. He said, the only result we're getting is our faces are becoming blackened by the smoke. Other than that, it's not working at all. So, yes. So actually, the chanting of the holy names, Krishna conscious sound vibration, and particularly, specifically the chanting of the holy names, is always, at all times, in all yugas, in all places, under all circumstances, by whoever, anyone, it is always the most effective way for making God realization. The thing is, in Kali Yuga, it's the only way. It's the only way. And other things, they do help to some degree, the deity worship, etc., what we said. They do help. It's not like they're useless or negative. They do help. But without the chanting of the holy names, their capacity to help is too limited. And therefore, even one, a person who in a very dedicated, sincere way, for example, worships the deity, without chanting the holy names, one of two things will happen. One, if we look on the bright side, through their sincerity in doing deity worship, the Lord will inspire them or give them such association that they'll take up the chanting of the holy names. Or two, if that doesn't happen, they'll just sort of fizzle out spiritually. You know, have you ever have those firecrackers and you light it and the wick burns and suddenly nothing happens? We used to call them fizzlers when I was a child. Fizzlers. Well, your life will become a fizzler. It looks like something may happen, but then it doesn't happen. So you're worshipping the deity and, you know, looks like it's nice in many ways. But without the chanting of the holy names, it'll just sort of fizzle. You know the story of how we got the Jagannath temple in Mayapur? Anyway, it's a long story, but sort of the essence in this regard is that this one family, they were worshipping the Jagannath deities in the temple, in a temple near, well, in Mayapur, say, very close, just down the road. But, you know, life, you know what life is. They were busy. Yeah. If you ask someone, what are you doing? Or can you help or something? And they say, I'm very busy. In this day and age, it's almost like saying, I'm alive. Did you get that? Because life is like that. So they were very busy. So, and worshipping these big deities, three of them, it's a big job. And they were Batman. So gradually they reduced the standard. And instead of dressing and everything every day, they would do it on Ekadasis. And instead of offering bhoga six times a day, they reduced it eventually to one time a day. And instead of offering, you know, a nice proper offering of boga food with subjis and, you know, different nice things, gradually they reduced it to khichdi once a day. And then it became too difficult, so then they would change the clothes on one of the major festival days. Like we have, I think we have, what is it, 6 or something? Major days, Gopanima, Ram Nomi, Balaram's appearance day, Janmashtami, Srimati Radharani, Govardhan Puja, maybe Prabhupada's appearance, disappearance. It's not more than 10. So they would change the clothes maybe 6 times a year and offer food once a week. And then everything dropped. So they reached the point they would only change the clothes on the Rathyatra day, because they're Jagannath deities. And that was it. And then 1 year they forgot. 1 year they forgot. And then they understood, we can't do this. So then they handed it over to Iskon. And I remember going there just very shortly after, and there was this broken down temple. Anyway, we've gone off track. Well, we haven't really, because the point was, if you don't chant the holy names, and even if you don't chant the holy names seriously, things will go down. And you or we will go down. Okay, so devotees, let us read here. We've got a couple of verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. They're very interesting. They're very, actually, extremely interesting. And it's got a lengthy purport. Perhaps we won't read the whole thing. But it describes, this is describing as the first sentence in the purport says, which is actually taken directly from Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur's purport, the beginning stage of pure devotional service is described here by the Lord. In other words, this is Lord Krishna speaking about the beginning stages of pure devotional service. So everyone, first of all, just repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Translation. Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, this is Lord Krishna speaking, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction, even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment. My devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. How does that sound? This is sort of aimed at, well, it's aimed at all of us, of course, but in a sense it's aimed at those amongst us who, when nobody is watching, may watch the latest Bollywood movie. We laugh. Well, I can tell you frankly, I've never watched Bollywood. Absolutely. But some of us here might occasionally sort of drop in and watch. I remember one of my disciples, actually, good person, was first initiated, wanted second initiation, basically. Anyway, wanted. And he was going through the initiation committee. They're specially designed by the management to put you through the ringer. You understand that? Squeeze out whatever they can squeeze out. So, okay, he'd been there, you know, for a year or two, and he wanted second initiation. So he was interviewed. There was like a process of interviewing. And on the third or fourth interview, so he asked, okay, can you please give me a recommendation? And they said, no. And he asked, why? And they said, because you went to the Bollywood show. There was some live Bollywood show, I don't know, some years ago. Who was there? He doesn't know. I'm just checking. But it was some of these, whoever they are, people. So, you were at that Bollywood show. And they asked, how did you know that? And the member of the committee said, because I saw you there. So like I said, there's a lengthy purport here. I'll read part of it. So now, of course, this is not Srila Prabhupada. This is our BBT team. But the purport, particularly the first paragraph which we're going to read, which is quite lengthy, it's not exactly verbatim, but it's very much based on the purport of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura to these two verses. So, the beginning stage of pure devotional service is described here by the Lord. A sincere devotee has practically seen that all material activities lead only to sense gratification, and all sense gratification leads only to misery. Thus, a devotee's sincere desire is to engage 24 hours a day in the loving service of Lord Krishna without any personal motivation. The devotee sincerely desires to be established in his constitutional position as the Lord's eternal servitor, and he prays to the Lord to elevate him to this exalted position. The word Anishvara indicates that because of one's past sinful activities and bad habits, one may not immediately be able to completely extinguish the enjoying spirit. The Lord here encourages such a devotee not to be overly depressed or morose, but to remain enthusiastic and to go on with his loving service. In other words, even though the enjoying spirit may sort of haunt one, kind of hang around in the back of your mind and every now and then try to pounce on you. So we shouldn't necessarily be overly depressed or morose, but push on enthusiastic. The word nirvana indicates that a sincere devotee, although somewhat entangled in the remnants of sense gratification, is completely disgusted with material life, and under no circumstances willingly commits sinful activities. In fact, he avoids every kind of materialistic activity. The word karma basically refers to sex attraction and its byproducts in the form of children, home, and so forth. Within the material world, the sex impulse is so strong that even a sincere candidate in the loving service of the Lord may sometimes be disturbed by sex attraction or by lingering sentiments for wife and children. A pure devotee certainly feels spiritual affection for all living entities, including the so-called wife and children. But he knows that material bodily attraction leads to no good, for it simply entangles one and one's so-called relatives in a miserable chain reaction of fruitive activities. The word dridha nishchaya, steadfast conviction, indicates that in any circumstance, a devotee is completely determined to go on with his prescribed duties for Krishna. Thus he thinks, by my previous shameful life, my heart is polluted with many illusory attachments. Personally, I have no power to stop them. Only Lord Krishna within my heart can remove such inauspicious contamination. But whether the Lord removes such attachments immediately, or lets me go on being afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to him. Even if the Lord places millions of obstacles in my path, and even if because of my offenses I go to hell, I will never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. I am not interested in mental speculation and fruitive activities. Even if Lord Brahma personally comes before me offering such engagements, I will not be even slightly interested. So this is the devotee thinking. This is why I say I this and I that. Even although I am attached to material things, I can see very clearly that they lead to no good, because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachments to so many material things, and I am patiently awaiting Lord Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna. So let's say a few words about that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Much of previous time, we must sit here again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Yeah, I find these verses, these two verses, very interesting. And actually, over the last maybe year even, at least some time, I've read them in classes on a number of occasions. Would you believe I last read them on Friday? I last read them on Friday. In Russia. In Russian. Would you believe? And then I gave class on them in Russian. I mean, well, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. No. Anyway, but it's just because I find them very interesting. And a number of devotees have told me afterwards, after class, that they sort of, you could say, they saw themselves in them, the verses, yeah, and the purport. They kind of saw themselves that they're not just, well, sometimes, many years ago we used to use the term part-time devotee. If you're a part-time devotee, I think that means you're a part-time non-devotee also. The other part of the time. It must be. If you're only a part-time devotee, I hope you're not a part-time demon. But if you're a part-time devotee, then you're definitely a part-time non-devotee by definition. So, for someone like I mentioned before, I think there are different levels of devotees. And back when I was a new boy in London in my early 20s, when I was a new boy, we had different gradations of devotees in terms of how much they participated in the program. And in those days, devotee meant someone who lives in the temple. If someone didn't live in the temple, they're sort of off the scale, and we wouldn't really bother worrying about them. But there were those people, there were those devotees who attend morning and evening programs. We had full morning and full evening program. Then there were devotees who come sometimes to morning and evening program. Then there were those who wouldn't come very much, but they'd come to the Sunday program. And then there were those who'd only come to the Sunday program. And then there were those who'd only come for prasadam on the Sunday program. But some of those, they would come at the end of the arati, because the prasadam was immediately after the arati. So those who would come right at the end, when they're fanning the deity, we used to call them Krishna's fan club. So, referring to this, these verses in the purport, we're not referring to that sort of person. We're referring to a person who really feels a commitment that not, here's an interesting perspective, not that I am Mr. or Mrs. or Ms. such and such from somewhere, and I'm a, whatever your work is, I'm a doctor, I'm a manager, I'm a secretary, I'm a salesperson, and I have my family, and I go to the Hare Krishna temple. But rather, the perspective is, I am a devotee, but I have a family, and therefore I must work, and so I do this and that. But I'm a devotee, that's who I am. And then the other things, they're like secondary, not that being a devotee or being involved in Krishna consciousness is just sort of one of the many things I do. You know, Saturday I play golf, and on Friday I do this, and on Thursday I do that, and the other days I do different things, and on Sunday I go to the Hare Krishna temple, and I, you know what I mean? Yeah. So here we talk about people who are really committed in their hearts, and they are devotees first and foremost. That's who they are, that's what they are. But because of life being life, you know, they may have ended up in some situation which is kind of inescapable. Even Srila Prabhupada, when he first met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was already married with a couple of children, two or three or something children. And so he was not able to get into it as much as he wanted for quite a number of years. For quite a number, like 30 years or something. So, you know, life being what it is, some of us sitting here right now, we've already ended up in some situation in life which is more or less inescapable. More or less, not absolutely, but, you know, to a pretty large degree, unless you do something pretty dramatic. So that even such a person, if at heart, at first, they see, who am I, what am I? I'm a devotee. And the other things, you know, to maintain the family and my life, well, you know, I work as a this or as a that. Not like I'm a doctor, but I'm also a devotee. But rather, I'm a devotee, and I'm also a doctor. Something like that. So this applies to such a person who feels that real commitment at heart. This is my life, this is what I am, and this is what I'm really trying to do. And the other things, well, either they're responsibilities due to circumstances in my life. So like I said, a number of devotees have come and told me that they've seen themselves in these verses and this purport, that they feel that commitment and they want to, but, and then fill in the blank, ... my situation. Yeah. So the thing is this, that what to speak of having responsibilities, that's one thing. Having more or less inescapable responsibilities. But sometimes it may happen that due to previous habits and just deeply ingrained tendencies, that even such a devotee, Lord Krishna is saying here, may actually do something which is not constructive for Krishna consciousness. You know, he's not including eating some meat sometimes, going to the KFC when no one's watching, in disguise, you know, long hair, a big nose, sort of disguise kit. That doesn't mean sometimes eating meat or doing those other things, but it means something like watching Bollywood or going to some other type of event which is not Krishna conscious, and you're there. You know, I used to go and visit my parents. Here's a confession. I visited my parents in New Zealand, from South Africa, in New Zealand, every year for 23 years, till they died. Good night, parents. But when they came. So I did that. And I'd go there. And I had my own room. And I would just go in and, you know, with my computer. My computer, my life. Anyway, with my computer, write emails and do different things and so on and so forth. And come out. I made a point of coming out and sitting with them like every hour or a couple of hours. And just, you know, as people Prasad used to say, shooting the breeze. Just chatting about how's this one, how's that one, what's going on. And when I would do that, I'd be sitting there thinking, gosh, what a waste of time this is. Wow. But then, then I would sit back off. And I was really up to date with my emails. Now, today, I'm 50 emails behind. I appreciate. So it really may get caught up. Somehow or other, in something which, you know, it may not be like outright, just sinful activity. But it's kind of something on the useless side, like watching Bollywood. The last Bollywood movie that I didn't watch, but I saw a few bits and pieces. I was on an Air Mauritius flight, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, probably. And when you don't have your own screen, but they have the one big screen, so you know, if you look up, you can't avoid it. And it was an Amita Bachchan movie. Believe it or not, I had heard of Amita Bachchan. And his son, Abhishek. And this movie, you know, I put the headphones on a few times just to find out what is going on here. And it was just so crazy. It was Amita Bachchan and this one girl, you know, he at that point, he must be close to death now. But you know, 20 years ago, he's very advanced middle age. And he fell in love with this one girl who was kind of 20s, you know, that phase of life, different phases of life. And you know what that girl's name was, according to the movie? Maybe it was probably just her calling name. Fasten your seatbelts, please. Are you ready? Brace yourself. Are you ready to hear what her name was? It's X-rated. It's really bad, actually. Her name was Sexy. Never again. Absolutely. Please. If I ever look like I'm going to press the button to watch a Bollywood movie, pull my head over, do something. So there's a saying, an old English saying, old habits die hard. Old habits die hard. And there's a sort of a variation, old soldiers die hard. There was, and it's kind of illustrative to some degree, Srila Prabhupada was watching a movie. No, he wasn't watching it. He was sitting in the front row in an airplane. And there was a screen, literally a couple of few feet away from his face. And it was a David Niven World War II movie. If you never heard of David Niven, congratulations. Says the World War II movie. And David Niven is the hero with his gun, and he's running up the hill to attack the enemy who are on top of the hill. And suddenly, he gets shot, and down he goes. But then he gets up, and he's off again, up the hill. And then, he gets shot again, and down he goes. And Prabhupada's sitting looking at this. And Prabhupada's looking at this, and suddenly Prabhupada just dozed off. And he woke up maybe 30 seconds later, and there was David Niven. And then he got shot again about the 20th time in the last 10 minutes. And Prabhupada looked at it, and he turned to his servant and said, "Not dead yet." Prabhupada had such a way of just sometimes, generally. So old habits die hard. Old habits die hard. It's mentioned in the purport here. Old habits die hard. And they're very persistent. Why are they persistent? Because Maya is persistent. Maya is a pure devotee, and we are not. We're trying to become. But Maya is a pure devotee, and her main duty is to push us. You know, are you interested in this? Are you interested in that? Presenting opportunities for material life. That's her expertise. Not because she wants us to fall down. She wants us to come to a transcendental level. But part of the way that is required for doing that is being exposed from time to time to things which, because of your previous upbringing and conditioning, you might find attractive. And she presents, "Hey, what about this? Are you interested?" And because old habits die hard, it may take some time to really come to the point where you're sort of impervious and you're really not interested. Yeah, where you're just really not interested and there's just no interest and just, you know, there's no point at all in being exposed to it. So, but certain things, generally people have their little pet attachments, or if not pet attachments, but just certain things they're attached to. I don't know if it applies to any of you. Do any of you have any things you're attached to? No? That's only me. You don't have anything you're attached to? Have you heard of golf? And it's really exercise. That's what it's called. Only exercise, that's right. Yes. So what to do? What to do? Well, the process of devotional service is there. That's what's to do. That even though these attachments are still there to one degree or another, and on some days they're more prominent than other days, or some points in some days they're more prominent than at other points. But the thing is, we have to continue on in Krishna consciousness. And if we continue on nicely, as nicely as we can, and if we really try to chant as attentively as possible and associate with the devotees as much as possible and render service from the heart as much as possible, Well, even if it's not from the heart, at least do it. Yeah. Then gradually, these old habits, they start dying. These old habits start dying. They start sort of dissolving away. Like one devotee once said that, well, he was asked, a non-devotee asked him, how did you give up meat? And the devotee thought momentarily and said, well, I didn't exactly give up meat, but meat gave up me. And this non-devotee friend was a little bewildered. But the devotee explained that just after a while, one day he just found he just wasn't interested. Just one day he wasn't interested. So if we persevere in our devotional service, and as much as possible, we optimize our devotional, our life in Krishna consciousness. Optimize it by chanting as attentively as possible at the right times. Like I always advise devotees often, if you want to advance, get up early and chant. And if you want to go backwards in Krishna consciousness, make a point of not getting up early. Get up late. Don't chant mostly if you want to go backwards. And I tell them, it always works. It works. If you want to advance, get up early and chant mostly as attentively as possible. And if you want to go backwards, don't. And whichever you want, if you do like that, you'll be successful. So we should optimize, sort of strategize our Krishna consciousness to optimize it by getting up early, chanting nicely early, and chanting actually nicely, as attentively as possible in a sacred space. As much as possible with good association. And then associate as much as possible with the devotees, get some regular service and be busily engaged as much as reasonably possible. And all these things, strategize, maximize our engagement in Krishna consciousness. And then be a little tolerant and perseverant because old habits die hard. And if sometimes some thought of our previous material life bugs us, then as the purport said, I don't know if I can find it, the Lord here encourages, well, the word Anishra indicates that because one's personal activities and bad habits, one may not immediately be able to completely extinguish the enjoying spirit. The Lord here encourages such a devotee not to be overly depressed or morose, but to remain enthusiastic and to go on with his loving service. Yeah. So, you know what? Tomorrow night is New Year's Eve. Hari Bol. Are you coming? Let's go out. Let's have a nice evening program tomorrow. And go out, have a nice harina. Really get into it. And then really try to make some resolve for 2019. You know, I'm really going to try and adopt a strategy. A proactive strategy for optimizing my life in Krishna consciousness, for really making some progress. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah. 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 Ye